The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. I had the privilege of going to Indiana University back in the good old days, when Bobby Knight was throwing chairs and his team was winning championships. And at the time, Steve Alford was the star. He was no doubt the best free throw shooter in the nation. Every day, whether he felt like it or not, he would shoot 300 or 400 free throws. And he had this routine whenever he went to the free throw line. First, he'd make sure that his shoes were well tied. Then he'd pull up on his socks, tug on his shorts, and only then would he shoot the ball. The crowd got caught on to this act, and whenever Alford would go to the line, the crowd would call out, "Shoes, socks, shorts, swish." And sure enough, the ball nearly always went in. It was, as they say, routine. Even under pressure, even when the game was on the line, Alford could be counted on. He simply followed his routine, shoes, socks, shorts, and the swish would surely follow. And so it is, routine has a way of strengthening us and preparing us for life's big moments. Soldiers, trapeze artists, field goal kickers practice all the time, doing the same thing over and over, so that in the heat of battle, under the spotlight's glare, or in the final moments of a Super Bowl, they are able to accomplish their goals. And so it was in the life of Daniel. His was a life of discipline and routine. Though he served at the court of the king, he did not take part in all of its luxury. He remained kosher in both body and soul, as one set apart for service of the Lord. And accordingly, even though he was an exile in a foreign land, he would open his apartment window, the one which faced towards Jerusalem, and he would pray to the one true God. And he did this 3 times a day as part of his routine, a routine which kept him grounded, a routine which reminded him that though he was in Babylon, he was not of Babylon. One day it happened that King Darius issued a decree that for 30 days no one was to worship or pray to anyone except to the king himself. What would you do under such circumstances? I would like to think that I would be bold and courageous, that I would engage in an act of civil disobedience, that I would pray to God no matter what. But I'm not so sure. After all, the decree was valid for only 30 days. 30 days without prayer is not such a long time. And I might play games and say, what good would it do if I were thrown into the lion's den? If I'm quiet now, I may live to fight and pray another day. By giving in now, I may be able to make a real difference later on. Why make waves? But Daniel had immunized himself to such subtle self-deception. And so it was apparently no great heroic effort for him to keep God's truth. He suffered no existential angst. He experienced no great dark nights of the soul. No, he simply continued on in his routine. Though his life, his very life, was on the line, 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Just as he had done before. Perhaps this is what Aquinas was trying to teach us when he spoke about habitual grace. The Christian life consists largely in the cultivation of routine. Every Sunday we go to church, whether we particularly feel like it or not. That's just the way it is. Here at the seminary, we are trained to hear the bell and to come to chapel. Pavlov would be proud. Call it habit, call it routine, dare even to call it ritual, but don't knock it. For it is through such habit and routine that God builds us up, like a drill sergeant prepares soldiers and a coach prepares his team for the big game. Through the habit of liturgy, songs, words, and prayers repeated over and over again, our Lord shapes us into who we are, shapes us into who he is, so that when the time of test or trial comes, we'll be ready. And Daniel was ready. His life of prayer, his liturgical life, was so much a part of who he was that he could no more stop praying than a man could decide to take a vacation from breathing. But sadly, we do deceive ourselves as individuals and as a church body. We think we have grown up beyond the need for the little rituals and habits of which the Christian life consists. As pastors, it's sad to watch people slide slowly away from the faith and congregations slide slowly away from the liturgy. Sad to watch people who become Christian in name only. Sad to watch pastors and people grow up out of their need for the liturgy and churchly things. For when the hour of trial comes, when the time of temptation is upon them, they will be at a loss. They won't know where to turn. Though they may ache to pray, they may find that they have forgotten how. And as pastors, you will find it difficult to speak to such people, for their ears will be plugged up with all the world's wisdom and all the words of the wise. Not having heard the words of forgiveness for so long, they will think themselves unforgivable. Not having received grace for so long, they will consider themselves self-sufficient. On the other hand, there's nothing more beautiful than to see a Christian who remains faithful, even in the worst of circumstances. You will visit a nursing home or a hospital, and there you will find Christians who have spent their entire lives training for the end, training to leave this world and to enter into the life to come. And though they are physically weak, you will find them spiritually strong. And they will pray with you the Lord's Prayer. They will sing with you the liturgy. And in their souls, you will see the courage which only the Lord can give. And you will see that our Lord has spiritually armed his warriors and given them a trusty shield which the devil has no power to break. And you will admire them. And you will stand in awe of their prayers and their songs. But they will shrug off your admiration, for they will only be doing what they have always done. Of course, we have an even better model than Daniel. We have the model of our Lord himself. Luke tells us that when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives in order to face his greatest temptation, his most difficult trial, the hour of darkness where he would face Satan himself, that our Lord was prepared. Luke says, in fact, that our Lord went to the Mount of Olives according to custom. And there he knelt in prayer, as he had done so many times before. And there he gave over his own will to that of the Father. This was no great one-time act of heroics. It was simply doing what he had done so many times before. Through repeated spiritual exercise, God had strengthened him. And in this way, Jesus became the first Christian martyr. And in this way, for our sake, he fulfilled all righteousness. May God strengthen us, build us up through routine worship, so that when the time comes for us to step up to the line, we'll know what to do. Amen.